I'm going to start out this sermon by apologizing. You guys can join in on the sermon listening, but this sermon is to me. It's one that I need. If it happens to hit any of you, well, cool. But the title of my sermon is Addicted to Busyness, which I'm sure none of you have that problem. But better get this. They say that if you need to get something done, you find a busy person to do it. And that's a great philosophy, except now we're killing a lot of our busy people by driving them into the ground. We have just a frenetic pace that many of us are on. The biggest excuse I get from anything in church, and I even hate to add church to a busy schedule, is not Sunday morning, but other church stuff, is that you're already too busy. But the question is, are you too busy? I heard a quote, and I heard it from Paula. I found it on the internet. I think they were two different people, but it was pretty cool. It really hit me. It says, some people who always talk about how busy they are really trying to claim how important they are. And I heard that, and I'm going, but I am way too busy. Am I that important, or do I think I'm that important? I mean, it's crazy. I mean, I heard that and said, I need to slow down. And then more things came at me, and more things happened. And I'm just going, I don't know how to do this. I got busier and busier. In September, most of you know these things, but my friend Albert, one of my best friends, they call me and say he's on life support. And I was there just about every day until he came to. And now that he's come to, I haven't seen him since then because I haven't had time. Month of September, I was pounding on the realtors, the landlord, First Commercial, and saying, you got to fix the front of our church. And finally they said, oh, by the way, we're closing your building down. I'm going, oh, that's just what I need, you know. I was trying to get back into just a little dabble into my engineering just to pay taxes and stuff like that. And all through the summer, these people just didn't say anything. I had a job I bid on, and of course in September they called me and said, congratulations, you got the job. When can you start? Most of you don't know this. You don't need to know it other than I'll just say, there's a lot of, what's the right word? Christian politics going on in our mother church in Ann Arbor, to the point where it probably won't survive. 800 people. A building that I designed and put a little bit of blood, sweat, and tears into. And another vineyard church close to us is looking like it's going down the same path. And so, this has been a stressful month. A busy month, a darn hard month. I thought about this whole important thing. I mean, it actually took me some time to stop so I could even think about the fact that I'm just this busy. Remember, this sermon's for me, so you know, don't worry about you guys. When I was emailing and Facebooking everyone about my friend Albert, it was kind of cool. People called me that I hadn't talked to in a couple, 3 years. I had all kinds of email. People were even sending me money for them, and it was really cool. And I began to think, you know, maybe I should do a blog. Everybody would, but I realized it's about him, not me, duh. And so, which was actually a relief, but you have, your mind goes into some of these things when you're so busy. There's a Proverbs that says, dreamers fantasize their self-importance. They think they are smarter than a whole college of faculty. That's actually the message, so you can probably guess that. I gotta slow down. I gotta find a way to stop. Well, Friday morning, I really hit the wall. I just got way too much going on. I got a meeting in Oak Park for this engineering. I'm supposed to be here doing stuff. And Friday mornings is my time with my buddies to have breakfast in Milan. And so I, of course, texted them, and because they were the most easy ones to blow off, and say, I'm not going to make it. There's just no way. I am too busy. So I'm watching the news as I'm getting ready, and they say, a truck on the Southfield Freeway hit an overpass, pedestrian overpass, and unfortunately killed the driver. I'm going, great, the Southfield Freeway, I mean, I'm sorry about the driver, but the Southfield Freeway is the way I get there. Any other way there takes another half hour to 45 minutes, of which there's going to be tons of people going the new way because the Southfield Freeway is closed. So I finally went in to Paula's room, their office, and just said, you got to pray with me. I don't know what to do. So she prays and said, Lord, just make it clear what Vic ought to do. Show him what it is that you want him to do. So I said, okay, well, the first thing I'll do is I'll call Oak Park and tell him, see if I can reschedule. So I call the guy at Oak Park, answers the phone, and I said, is there any chance we can move the meeting to next week? He said, yeah. He said, that's not a bad idea, because the guy you're coming to meet is in Chicago today. Nobody thought of telling me that. So I was going to go to a meeting with a guy who wasn't there, which would have been not God's way of doing things. So Friday, when I showed up for breakfast, these guys are going, I thought you weren't coming. And they have a TV screen in Coney Island, and there's the bridge smashed down, and then I'm going, that's why I'm here, believe it or not. But that, and because God wanted me to be where I was supposed to be. I wasn't supposed to be too busy to be with my friends. The question I want to ask you is, are you addicted to busyness? Is it something that you just groove on? Is it something, I mean, some of you, I believe, and now I'll get real, believe that I'm talking just about you. It's like that lady I told you the story who said she's not coming anymore because my sermon was only about her, and then slammed the phone down. And, but I mean, this is our culture. This is our society. This is what we're in. We're stuck in this, up to our ears. I am. I confess, Lord, that I am really stuck in busyness. I don't know how to get out. It's kind of just getting a picture now. You know, I don't know if you've ever, when I was a kid, you used to get your foot stuck in the mud and you're trying to pull it up. That's how I feel. Well, I want to give you some signs, and this isn't some 10 biggest things or anything, but some signs that you actually might be addicted to busyness. Number one, you feel like you're in your glory when you're in your busy, when you are your busiest. It goes, all right, I'm humming now. Get out of my way. I am really going. I am making things happen. I'm a mover and shaker. It's like you rush when just to show people that you're important. You feel energized with it. There's a good side to doing things, and I'm not saying you should just sit on your butt and do nothing. I remember as a kid, my folks came out of the Depression and out of the Protestant work ethic, and the greatest sin, without a doubt, that I learned as a kid was laziness. So I'm not talking about just sitting around doing nothing, but I don't think that's where we're at. And I think it's a matter of the heart. We have to watch our heart as we get swallowed up in this stuff. As Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And sometimes that self-importance, that pride comes in. And we get on that roll because that's where our heart is. If somebody said that to us, we'd be shocked. But when God says it, well, then we can't hide from it that much. Here's another characteristic. You're more fascinated with gadgets than with God. That's more in the culture today than ever. It seems like, you read about people who used to, this is more than gadgets, but go all the way back to they used to clean clothes by pounding them on rocks and stuff like that, which I'm not saying we ought to do. But we have all of these, quote, labor-saving devices. And where do we do with the time we get from those? Fill it up with a lot more stuff. And then we have these gadgets. And they have become our master rather than the other way around. So it's really hard to not be so distracted that nothing ever seems to get done. There's a quote from Jane Austen, so it's not just new with us, but life seems but a quick succession of busy nothings. Everything is screaming for your attention. Everything is saying, now, you got, right now, we got to do it, now. Paula and I were selling her house just before when we got married. And we had a realtor called and said, we've got a bid on your house. And we go, oh, great. And by 7 o'clock tonight, you got to decide whether or not you're going to take this bid. And we talked about it and said, you said the Holy Spirit's never in a rush. So we go, okay, well then that's easy. No, we don't take it. I had a guy call this week and he said, we're trying to build an orphanage in Ohio and we heard you do engineering. And I go, well, I don't know, I think I could do it. I've got an architect friend, we could. I said, when do you need it for? He said, yesterday. I said, oh, good, because I can give you my answer right now. There's just no way in the world. Especially couldn't do it yesterday, so I was busy yesterday. So, I mean, that's just the way that things are. Another symptom, I think, you begin to feel nervous and irritable. I'm afraid that your irritable bowel syndrome has progressed. You now have a furious and vindictive bowel syndrome. Some of your younger folks won't get that, but I don't know about you, but I get irritable when I'm in a rush, especially in the car. It's like everybody is deciding to drive 10 miles an hour under the speed limit, and they're lined up across every lane in front of me. And I'm going, don't you have more to do with your time than cruise along a freeway? I mean, I find myself just mad. The world's not moving fast. Don't they understand I'm busy? I got so many things to do. I gotta get it done. And so it's like, road rage, competitiveness, all those kinds of things. There's a lot of categories here. You stay awake thinking of all the things you have to do. I designed a part of the church last night at 1:30 in the morning. It came to me, oh, we got this problem. Why don't we have the problem at noon? Why at 1:30 in the morning? And so you lose sleep, which then, of course, doesn't help the irritability and all that kind of stuff. You're right back onto it. So stress keeps you awake and all this. And just about, they say, I mean, I've heard anything from 70 to 90% of diseases and illnesses are caused by stress today. And I just completely believe that. So, or at least 70 to 90% of my illnesses are caused by stress. So, your favorite compliment has become, wow, you're always so busy. And you go, yeah, I'm important, yes, I am. You see, I get funny and giddy just before I'm ready to break down and cry. So this is tough stuff. You want to stop and talk about you being so busy, but you don't have time to stop and talk about being so busy. It's kind of a self-importance demon. The other name for it is pride. And that's what we have coming out of us. And the last one I have, which I think is the, well, this is the one that I faced on Friday. This is the one in which is haunting me with my friend Albert. But it says you don't have time for the ones you love. So you have time for all of the important, busy things that you're doing. You have time for all of the running all over the place kinds of things, but you don't have time for your loved ones. And so, and that includes God. And that's what gets set aside. And if you find yourself in that kind of a thing, then you might be addicted to busyness. It's this, not having time for loved ones is so huge, because we're going to fly through life. At 67 years old, I think of all the things I should have not done. I don't think of all the things I didn't get a chance to do. I think of all the things I shouldn't have done, because I missed a lot of things. And it's so important to realize that we're caught, we're trapped, we're in the middle of this mix. I mean, here they all are. You feel like you're in your glory when you're busiest. You're more fascinated with gadgets than with God. You begin to feel nervous and irritable. You stay awake thinking of things you have to do. Your favorite compliment is, wow, you're always so busy, and you don't have time for your loved ones. Saturday, I got invited to the Michigan State football game with my son. But I was leading a group of people working on our new church building. So I got a video of my granddaughter instead on a message. Okay, now that I've cheered you all up, what do we do about it? Well, before I even get into that, let me tell you one other thing. I mean, it's real obvious for those of us who are type A extroverted personalities. Everyone sees them and goes, Vic's talking about them, you know, is it? But there's also the introverted type B personalities. And a lot of this stuff happens between these ears that's going on. And they lose a lot from that, from the inner voice, the inside of them. And so I think that we have to realize this busyness can happen externally, internally, or whatever, but it's going to end up eating our lunch. It's really going to hurt us. I'm actually going to read some things, so I got to see it. I read an article from a pastor by the name of Brady Boyd, who is senior pastor at New Life Church in Colorado Springs. He's married to his college sweetheart, Pam, and has two teenage daughters. And this is what he says about this whole addicted to busyness. He said, every problem I see in every person I know ultimately is a problem of moving too fast for too long in too many aspects of life. Every problem. He said, I'm a pastor, so I see a lot of problems. We think if we can keep going, keep busy, keep plowing ahead, our conscious won't have time to catch up with us because, we're really already be long gone. But only for a time. Life is like the breath, says Brother David. We must be able to live in an easy rhythm between give and take. If we cannot learn to live and breathe in this rhythm, we will place ourselves in grave danger, and that may be a play on words in a couple ways. Maybe even the literal grave. Now, you remember the story I told you of Paula and I praying. I had to finally stop. I was going in too many directions, and I had to stop. And guess what? Duh. She said, let's turn to God. Oh. You know, that's a good idea. I should have thought of that. Well, I want you to consider this, and this is what I'm going to end with. That some people say that God is a peaceful God, a peaceful person. But I want to say to you, God is not merely a peaceful person. God, in fact, is peace. As we draw close to Him, we draw close to peace. As we draw away from Him, we're drawing away from peace. We're so frantically going, if I don't do something, it's not going to happen. That's the classic not being a Christian. If I don't jump in and make things happen, then what's going to happen? Well, then, darn it, God will have to be in charge. And that's what we have to realize. Is that he wants us to let go. He's going to say, you want more? Okay, here's more. And more. And more. And more. And he's saying to us, you got to slow down. And you got to listen to me. And the rhythm has to be a daily thing of hearing God. Maybe an hourly thing of just stopping for 30 seconds. And saying, Lord, slow me down. Whatever it is that takes for us to turn our hearts to Him. The word they use for that is repent. Repent is turning to God from our stuff, our busy, busy stuff, and giving our lives to Him, turning our lives to Him, and saying, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. I did not say when all of that happened on Friday, darn it, I have to go to breakfast with my buddies. Because, I mean, it's just, and then I actually got here earlier because I wasn't in Oak Park for a meeting that wasn't going to happen. And so we have to hear God. He's got the pace. It's always slower than we want it to be. And we always get there quicker with His slower way of doing it. There's a way in which seems right to man, And that way leads to death. And it's the death of the things that we really want, we really hold valuable, especially our loved ones, when we don't give our lives to the Lord. Let's bow our heads and turn our hearts to Him. Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, we think we're doing it for You. We think we're charging ahead for You. We're fighting the battles for You. We're doing all this for You. Lord, let us rest in You first. Let's come from that place, Lord. Teach us to pray. Teach us to trust in You, to wait on You. Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Most of us are really tired. We're pooped out. We need our strength renewed. So Lord, come. Come into our hearts. Paula and I do a daily prayer. We do hand gestures. We were taught it when we were at a retreat last year. And it says, Almighty and eternal God, so draw my heart, so guide my mind, so fill my imagination, and the one that always gets me, so control my will, that I may be completely devoted to You, Lord. Use me as You will. Use me for Your glory and the welfare of Your people. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I have the band come on back up?